you bring a Bible tonight?
Yes, sir.
You're going to need it. I brought mine. Let's pray that the lights don't go out again tonight. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray that everybody's supper stays inside their stomach tonight. Let's just pray for all kinds of good things. Revelation chapter 4, turn there. I got a picture up there of bones and guts. I like bones and guts. Especially when they're on a deer. Amen? Revelation chapter 4. A couple things I want to ask you. Do you believe, number one, that God wrote the Bible?
Yes.
Do you believe, number two, that man came from monkeys?
No.
Who said yes? That's like the worst Christian homeschool program ever. It's not working. Man did not come from monkeys. He didn't come from fish in the ocean. He didn't come from a pool of goo of 14 billion years ago and lightning struck it and it just formed this cell and it created everything. God made man in His image after His likeness is what the Bible says. And I just believe what the Bible says. I believe every word in the Bible. I don't question it. I don't doubt it. I do ask God a lot of questions, however. Jeremiah 33. Now listen to me now. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." And young people, I want to encourage you. Ask God questions. Ask Him questions. Ask Him, why am I on this earth? Why do I act the way I do? Why do I get in trouble? Why can't I be better? Can I do better in school? Can I tell you something? That if you will ask God help for schoolwork, God will give you help for schoolwork. How many of you know that? How many of you have ever done that? Ask God for help in school, and He gave it to you. See, we got witnesses here. They were all girl witnesses. Boys go, schoolwork, schmuelwork. Can't spell it, don't care. Okay? Guys, listen to me. Get yourself an education. You won't have to sweat all day. Okay? You work smart, you won't have to work hard. So get yourself an education. That's going to have to do something with what I'm going to preach about tonight. We got a picture of bones and guts up here. Why do I have a picture of bones and guts up here? I want you to look at Revelation chapter 4. John gets to see heaven. And he says, "After this I looked, behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Guess who that was? "For there are three that bear record in heaven." This is 1 John 5:7. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." And so when one sits on the throne, you have God the Father, you have God the Son, and you have God the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Say amen. And then he said in verse 3, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper, starting stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an emerald." And I want you to notice this now, verse 4. Now here I want you to get this picture. We have the throne of God and God sitting on the throne. This is a picture of the tabernacle of God in heaven. This is the temple or the church of God in heaven. And just like when we had the chair the other night, okay? We had the chair and we had the four Levite priests carrying the chair. That was the throne of God. And so John is showing us a picture of the throne of God in heaven. And God is sitting on the throne. And John is describing now what he sees. So he says in verse 4, "Round about the throne were 24 seats." That's a Bible way of saying 24. Everybody say 24. "And upon the seats I saw 24 elders." Everybody say 24. "Sitting, clothed in" what color raiment? "White. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices." I want you to remember this. This is going to get cool in a minute. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, the third beast had a face of a man, the fourth beast like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest day and night, saying... Now listen to what they said. Holy, holy, holy. How many times did they say it? Do you know why? For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So they said, holy to the Father, holy to the Son, holy to the Spirit. And then they said, Lord God Almighty. Notice there's three words again. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. And then it says, which was and is to come. Notice there were three things there. There is a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then on verse 10, the 24 elders. Everybody say 24. And fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. God created you. God made you. Did you know 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, what? Know ye not? And he's going to tell you what the tabernacle is. He's going to tell you what the temple is. The church. He said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Your physical, this body here, is actually the temple that God rules in. And we're going to start here with these bones and guts up here, because this is like this part of me. Okay? Now, let's look at the human heart. Because when you asked Jesus to come live in you, did you ask Jesus to come live in your pinky toe? No. Did you ask Jesus to come live right behind the hair that's in your ears? I got hair in my ears. Where did you ask Jesus to come live? In your heart. Now watch this. Now, your heart is the throne of God, or should be. Is the throne of God. Remember, how many guys did we have carrying the throne of God around? How many?
Four.
Who knows how many chambers or divisions there are in your heart? There's four chambers in your heart. Notice, if you look in Revelation chapter 4 again, you'll see that there are four beasts that surround or encompass the throne of God. And those are the four chambers of your heart. And that's exactly where the seat of God is. And I want you to listen to me, young people. Right now, I believe that God wants to rule and reign in your heart. But I also know another God that wants to reign where? In your heart. His name is, he's the God of this world. His name is Lucifer. His name is Satan. He is the dragon, the devil. And he wants to sit on the throne of your heart. So we have the heart, and it represents the throne of God and the four Levite priests and the four angels and so on. And then we have, oh, look here, I like this. This is my second favorite part here. We have, when John said he saw the throne, notice that he said, I heard lightnings and thunderings and voices. This is neat. When your heart pumps, do you know what makes your heart pump? Electricity. It makes your lightning makes your heart pump. And the pump sound of your heart sounds like what? Thunder. And so you have lightning and thunder and a voice coming out of your temple. Isn't that neat? Okay? Then, we have some guts here called lungs. Who in here has lungs? God bless me with good lungs. I used to play the tuba in the band. Now my son's playing the tuba. He's got his dad's lungs, okay? And we can blow that thing hard and loud. Watch this now. You see, the lungs is where the air goes in and out. I want you to think of the spirit. Because the word spire in Latin is related to the word respiration. You know what the word respiration means? It means you're blowing in and pushing out air. When you, everybody do this. You're taking spira in you. You're taking air. You're taking pneuma was the Greek word. The spirit is like the air that is around us. And I'm watching you. God showed me this yesterday. I wanted to shout. I saw this. The spirit, here's the body. Think of the church. Did you know the church is the body of Christ? Amen? So think of the body. Think of the spirit being out here, but the spirit needs to be in the body. How does the spirit get in the body? Through the two lungs. The two lungs bring in the spirit and then distribute the oxygen from the air into the blood, and it goes all through the body. There's not any part of your body that does not get inspiration. And you know what lungs represent? The Old and New Testament of your Bible. And any place where this Bible is read and preached and taught and thought about and meditated on, the Spirit of God is going in that person and they are alive. Can somebody say amen? It also said there were seven spirits in here. Isaiah chapter 11, it tells you what seven spirits are. You can go read that later. But did you know that in your two lungs, you have blood vessels go into the lungs that transfer the oxygen into the bloodstream. And they're in vascular bundles called nodes. Okay? Anybody want to take a guess how many nodes there are in your two lungs? Exactly seven of them. So the seven nodes are taking in the spirit and distributing it through the body. So you have the throne, you have the spirit, you have the four beasts. And then you have what surrounds this whole thing up here. What are those? Ribs. Who can feel your ribs? I can't feel my ribs. I have too many cheeseburgers between me and my ribs. Okay? And Chinese food. Amen? And beans and cornbread and all that bacon. And then this week, not only are they killing me with bacon, they're killing me with bacon sausage. Amen. Hey, listen. Watch this. Notice that on this picture here that the ribs go all the way around that cavity where the heart is. Guess how many ribs you have? 24. Exactly. You have 12 on this side and 12 on this side. And what color are they?
White.
They're the 24 elders clothed in white that surround the throne of God and the seven spirits. This is good. Because John said, I see the throne of God, and I see the four beasts, I see the 24 elders, I see the seven spirits of God, and I hear the thunderings and the lightnings, the heartbeat. But he said, I see the throne of God on a sea of glass. It looks like glass, clear crystal, but he described it as a sea. Anybody ever been to the sea?
No.
The ocean?
Oh, yeah.
We took Caleb to the ocean. First thing he did was, yes! Your heart. Who in here knows what surrounds your heart? There's a sac called the pericardium. Para means around. Cardium means heart. There's a sac called the pericardium that is full of, guess what? Seawater. There is a protective layer of water that surrounds the heart, and it has salt in that water just like ocean water is. Literally, you have a sea of clear crystal that is surrounding the throne of God, where the voices and the thunderings and the lightnings and the four beasts and the 24 elders and the seven spirits of God are there. You did not come from monkeys.
Amen.
God made you in the perfect image of His Word. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
I graduated high school. I went 3 years of Bible college. I did not finish. I fell in love instead. and I got married. I don't regret not finishing Bible college. Because, Brother Joey, one of the things that I've learned more just from reading this book than I would have ever gotten out of a university. And young people, the message I'm going to preach tonight is going to be a challenge to you. Okay? And a lot of my ministry is based upon mistakes that I've made. I've made a lot of mistakes. To Kenya last year, a couple things I'm going to tell you about Kenya tonight. One of them was the pastors that were meeting with me. They said, "Pastor Hoggard, please, will you tell us the secret of your success?" And I said, failures. And they just went, "What?" And I said, "I'm not successful. I haven't done anything. As a husband, I have failed. As a father, I have failed. As a pastor, I have failed. As a Christian, I have failed. As a decent human being, I failed. I stink at it. But in every failure, I always cried out to God and said, 'God, lift me out. Take me out of this pit that I dug for myself. God, get me out of here.'" And God has always honored that, and God has always blessed that. And so a lot of the ministry, a lot of the preaching, a lot of the lessons I teach, a lot of the videos that I make are based upon mistakes that I have made. I went trying to be a Pentecostal one time. That didn't work out. I failed at that. I tried to be a liberal preacher. I was going to have a heavy metal rock and roll band play in our church. And I failed at that. It didn't happen. I was going to be a Rick Warren, NIV reading, liberal preacher to make everybody like me. And I failed at that too. And I've been down a lot of roads trying a lot of things. And I've been down the road of failure. And what God has done is God has brought me back now to the entrance to the road. Back to where I first started going wrong. And God has asked me, "Mike, will you stand guard here and be a watchman over this roadway and don't let anybody go down that road because it's failure." And so, what I preached last night, I've been down that road. I have failed in those areas. I can't even tell you how. I have failed in those areas. And I stand there last night at the entrance to that, and I'm begging you, don't go down this road. It's bad. It almost killed me. Don't go down this road. And so that's the basis of what I do tonight. Let's go to the next slide, Daniel chapter 1, verse 3. And then I'm going to tell you one of the other things that we encountered when I was in Kenya. We had booked the flights. We had it all, went through a travel agency, had it all set. You're going to leave St. Louis, fly to Chicago, from Chicago to London, go from London to Nairobi, and just be there about 24 hours in total. We got from St. Louis to Chicago, and there was a storm that came between Chicago and London. And we were stranded on the airplane, on the ground, at the airport for 5 hours. So that by the time we got to London, we had already missed the next flight by 3 hours. And they made us spend the night in London. And they said, "We've got a flight for you tomorrow morning." We got up the next morning and there was no flight for us. It never happened. And we tried, we worked for hours that morning trying to get a flight into Nairobi, just any plane, anywhere. And I finally asked the lady, I said, "What is the next direct flight from London to Nairobi that has 12, we had 12 in our group, that has 12 seats on it?" And she said, "It's not for another 8 days. And I sat down, thank God they had a crispy London airport. And I sat down at this eating donuts, and I'm thinking in my mind, "Well, here's what we're going to do. We're in London. We have passports. Let's go sightseeing in London for about 3 days and then let's go back home." And
My son-in-law is from Nairobi. His mother lives out in Western Kenya, and his grandmother lives out there as well. And he called his mother and he said, "Mom, we're not going to be able to make it. There's no way we can come out there." I was supposed to preach out there. I had places all over Kenya to preach. One of them was in the slums of Kibera. You have never seen a worse hellhole in the world than the slums of Kibera. Sewage running up and down the streets, and people. There was a lady who was washing her feet in the sewage. Million dirty, nasty village, and I was supposed to be preaching there the next day. And I wasn't going there. That's all there was to it. And Michael's, his grandmother got on the phone, and she is the most godly woman I have ever met in my life. And she began to pray, and she got on the phone, and she said, "Michael, God has told me that you are going to be in Nairobi tonight." And got off the phone. "Yes, Grandma." He don't tell his grandma no. And he went back to the American Airlines desk, and the lady did something, and she just sat back and her jaw dropped. She said, "I don't believe this. 12 seats just opened up on a British Airways flight, leaves in 1 hour." Exactly 12 seats. And we ran through London Heathrow Airport. That's only like 35 miles long. And we got on there, and the door shut as we're getting on this airplane, Brother Bill. And we finally made it to Nairobi. And about 1 o'clock Nairobi time, they're about 9 hours ahead of us. 1 o'clock Nairobi time, I'm laying down to go to sleep in a strange country with strange sounds, strange smells. And I lay down. I'm supposed to get up at 7 in the morning and go preach. And I can't sleep. My mind is just reeling. I can't believe I'm here. About 3 o'clock in the morning, a panic came over me. And I've never felt anything like this in my life. It was so scary and so deep. And there was a voice like in here somewhere attached to it that was saying, "You don't belong here. You are in danger. You need to leave." And I almost got up in a panic and got my wife and said, "Honey, we have to go back up. We have to go home now." I wanted to do that so bad, to get up and get out of that country, because I was in danger. And I got to the slums of Kibera, made it there. We had to have 2 armed guards go in with us with AK-47s. And they follow us into the middle point of the slums of Kibera. You had to walk part of the way just to get to there. Stepping over trash and human waste and people looking at you. Here's this white Muzungu walking through their streets. And I walked into this church, Brother Bill, and I never felt a spirit so sweet as I did in there. And I was asking God, why am I here? And in the course of me teaching, one of the pastors, Sister Naomi, said, "Pastor, you said something a while ago that gives me a question. Can you show us the difference between your King James Bible and our Bible? Show us what's missing out of our Bibles. We want to know." And right then I knew why I was there. And I went around Kenya just telling them, "We're going to send you King James Bibles. We're going to send you good Bibles that are the Word of God. This is what we're going to do." Here's what I found out. There was a witch, a real one, in Nairobi that knew we were coming. And she was actively working behind the scenes to keep us out of there. And it almost worked. I believe in witchcraft. And I'm going to touch on some of that tonight. I believe in it. I believe it's real. And I believe it's very powerful. But I believe my God is more powerful than witchcraft. I mean, obviously we made it to Kenya. And we preached what we were supposed to preach there. It didn't work on me. I didn't know that at the time. Daniel chapter 1. The king said unto Ashpenaz, the master of his... This is Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel told the Judah had been taken into captivity. The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of his own seed, and of the princes. Children in whom was no blemish. Notice I have that word blemish underlined. Young people, I want you to pay attention for a minute. The adults in this room, if you would be so kind as to raise your hand, if right now you are still carrying scars from a sinful past in your life, would you raise your hand? And now, young people, I want you to look around at these adults. These are church people. These are good folk. I know some of you are from Oak Lane. I know you get good preaching. I know a lot of you folk get some good preaching and you're good people. But you are carrying around in your body right now the scars and the blemishes of a sinful past. And young people, these adults would give anything to keep you out of their troubles. Can I hear an amen? That's why they're here. That's why they built it. Brother Brian and I had the same heart for camp. Camp is it. Camp is to get you guys without your cell phone, your iPods, and your computers, and Facebook, and tweets, and everything. Play from Lady Gag Me. Shh. And some of you, after I said that the other night, just in defiance, walked out of here singing a Lady Gaga song. Defiance. I'm trying to warn you about this witch named Lady Gaga that is trying to steal your soul away. I've been down that road. And I'm standing here telling you, don't listen to her. She's a whore of Babylon. Don't listen to her. And you walked out of this church service in defiance of that. I pray that God smites your heart, causes you to repent. I don't know who it was, but I know it happened. And these people here tonight, these older folk, would give anything to keep you unblemished for as long as possible. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science. I'm going to come over here for a minute because you aren't listening. Boys, do your homework. Do your homework. Can I tell you that tyranny, you know what tyranny is? It's bad rulers. Guys like Adolf Hitler and Saddam Hussein and Muammar Gaddafi. Tyranny rules where people are ignorant. Tyranny, bad people rule over people who will not educate themselves and learn for themselves. God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of money? No. My people are destroyed for a lack of food? No. My people are destroyed for a lack of good video games? No. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And the American government and even your parents, if you're homeschooled, are spending billions of dollars every year to try to teach you something worth keeping the rest of your life, and you're too lazy to even pick up the homework and the pencil and paper at the end of the day and do your assignments. You're destined to slavery. You're destined to it. If you will educate yourself and teach yourself and discipline yourself to learn something, there will be no limit as to how much money you can earn and how successful you can be. And there's no limit to the things that you could do for the kingdom of God. Stop being lazy. I've been down that road. I'm coming back and I'm telling you, boys, don't go down that road. Trying to teach them science and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Next slide. Verse 5. And the king appointed them a day of provision. I want you to of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. So nourishing them 3 years that at the end thereof they might be before the king. Now among these were the children of Daniel, Hananel, Mishael, Zariah. That was their Hebrew names. Unto whom prince of the eunuchs gave names for unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar. Did you know that he named him after the god Baal? Named him after a false god. And Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, Zariah, Abednego. They changed their name. Now verse 8, next slide. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. I want you to get a hold of this. I want you to get a hold of how big this is. The Bible is telling you that Daniel and Abednego are not adults. The Bible's telling you they are children. They are young boys, young men is what they are.
They may be your age, or they may be your age, but these are youngsters who at this time in your life, you still need parents. You still need parents to feed you, to clothe you, to bathe you. I know, because you walk in my cabin, 6 o'clock, you're going to the shower. And if it wasn't for me telling you, now go get your soap. Where's your soap? How come you don't have soap? If it wasn't for me telling you that, you would go to the shower, turn around, walk back, I went to the shower. That's what you would do. Can I tell you, who in here is 8 years old? God gave me something a while ago. I was sitting over there. One of the kings of Judah was a boy by the name of Josiah. And he was 8 years old, Ross.
King.
A king. He was 8 years old. And I want to tell you something. You listen to me. At that time, Israel was in the toilet. They were a mess. They were all pagans. They were just fixing to go into captivity. God was just fixing to come down on them. And a young boy named Josiah grew up. And at 8 years old, his father died, which made him king. Now, king gets to do whatever he wants to. He can eat ice cream late at night. He can eat chips and mustard and hot dogs. He can ruin one appetite after another. He can read comic books. He can run in and go out. He can do whatever he wants to. You know what Josiah did? When some guys were going around in the temple, one of them found a Bible. They found the book of the law. And Josiah said, "Bring it to me." And they brought it to him. And Josiah said, "Read that to me." And they read the Old Testament, the Bible, the book of the law. They read that to Josiah. And upon hearing the words of God, you know what the Bible said he did? He was so sad, he tore his clothes. The Bible says he rent his clothes. And at 8 years old, he got on his face before God and said, "God, please do not do what you promised you would do to my people in my lifetime. I promise you that my people, while I'm king, will live according to your law." And he did that at 8 years old. And some of you boys and some of you girls cannot even walk out of the house without mom and dad giving you the going over, giving you instructions on how they want you to live. Be trusted. You lie through your teeth. You do everything against your mom and dad's wishes. And you don't like them bossing you around and telling you everything to do. Then why don't you start doing right and they won't have to?
That's right.
Can I get an amen out of somebody?
Amen.
Maybe you should pray. God, you don't already have that kind of heart. Maybe you should pray that God would give you a heart to know what God said. Number two, wants to do what God wants to do. And number three, nobody has to tell you to do what's right. You automatically want to do what's right. Maybe you should pray for that kind of heart. Can I hear somebody say amen? Daniel, he promised himself that he would not defile himself with the king's meat and the king's wine. He said, "I'm not doing it." See, Jewish law said, number one, you cannot drink strong drink. And Daniel knew that. He was not going to touch. You listen to me. He was offered the wine. He was offered the wine, boys. And he said, "No, my lips are not touching that garbage." And your mom and dad can't be around you 24 hours a day, and you know. And you're going to get offered. Mom and dad's telling the truth?
Yes.
When you refer, was your mom and dad standing there? And so you have to decide, because you're fixing to get offered a beer, a little vodka, sip of whiskey, wine cooler. You're fixing to get offered, if you haven't already. You're going to have to decide now whether or not you're going to refuse. The fact is, let's just be honest. I preached on Friends the other night. More than likely, you are already pursuing the people and the situation so that you will be in a place where you play with it. It may already be a situation in progress. The work is in progress. And you're already working on it. Why don't you just stop while you're here at camp and say, God, give me a different heart. You know, God's the Creator, right? You know what David said? Create in me a clean heart. Because he didn't have one. And he knew that if he had a clean heart, God was going to have to make him one. And so boys, ladies, maybe you should ask God, God, give me a heart like Daniel. That I will purpose myself that I will not defile myself with the king's meat and the king's wine. I won't do it. And my mom and dad aren't standing over me telling me what to do. You see, a test of your character is not what you do when everybody's watching. It's what you do when nobody's watching. That's your test of character. And you know what Daniel did? Daniel had decided stuff, and if that's all they give me, I'm not eating. And if the king has to kill me, then the king has to kill me, because it's better for me to die than it is for me to break God's law. And if you don't have that kind of heart, you can ask God to give you one. He'll give you one. Therefore, we requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Next slide. Meat. What does this meat represent? It represents carnal things. Things that please the flesh. Everybody take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Hurry, 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 hurry. I have not yet begun to preach. Hey, it ain't my fault that they run you guys ragged all day long and then sit you down in here. I've got you for about 5 hours tonight and I'm going to... No, I'm not. Okay. Galatians chapter 5. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
So what does that meat represent? Verse 19. See, the Bible makes this easy. Hey, I'm preaching so easy. Just preach the Word. I don't sit and drink. I just preach the Bible, Brother Curtis. Just preach it. You know what that meat represented? Adultery. Verse 19. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. You know what that is to you? Telling dirty jokes and laughing at stuff you ought not be laughing at. Having a dirty mind.